Three blind mice, see how they run.
Where the fuck are they going? Oh!
Little boy blue.
He needed the money. Oh!
What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. J-Man and Big O are in the house tonight. Special spotlight comedian, the Dice Man himself, Andrew Dice Clay. So, welcome, strap in, you're in for a good one. Big O and I have a bunch of stuff lined up that are up the Dice Man's alley, and so we're going to go ahead and get right on into this. This is the Dirty Limerick game. We're going to play like a drinking game. You get it right, you take one drink. You get it wrong, you take two drinks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first half of the limerick, and then Big O is going to give it a few seconds for you to guess, and then he'll give you the answer, which is the end of the limerick. So you got to, I'm going to supply the beginning of the limerick, you got to supply the end. So let's get into this. First one, here we go. Georgie Porgy Puddin' and Pie.
Jacked off in his girlfriend's eye when that eye dried shut. Georgie fucked the one-eyed slut. Oh!
All right. Hope you got that one right. And to go ahead and move on. Let's see. Whoa, one of my personal favorites. Little Miss Muffet sat in a tuffet, eating the curds and whey.
When along came a spider, sat down beside her and said, "Hey! What's in the bowl, bitch?"
I love it. I love it. That out of all the ones he did, that one was my favorite one.
I always had an affinity for the three blind mice because I never knew where the fuck they were going. And then Shrek proved it.
All right. Hope you guys are doing as well as Big O is out there. I doubt it, but hopefully you can keep up. All right. Here's the next one. Roses are red. Violets are blue.
This should be easy. Come on, people. You know this. I fucked your mother in the ass and she had you. Oh! Brown eye baby.
All right, here we go. Hickory Dickory Dock.
This is a tough one. I don't know, Jester. I don't know. Some chick was sucking my cock. The clock struck two. I dropped my goo and dumped the bitch off on the block. Oh!
Spot on, sir. Spot on.
You know I'm not going to fail at this, right?
I know. This is a comedian that was very near and dear to us. We should try to get him on the show. I mean, you know, we've got money for a couple of six packs and some cigarettes.
Does that look like a heart or a brownie? I don't know.
Big chocolate starfish.
Hey, SpongeBob.
All right, people. Hopefully you're getting all nice and warmed up. Here's the next one for you. Good old Mother Goose.
That was a tough book. Remember her? I fucked her. Ew.
I like the short ones, like the little boy blue and like the good old Mother Goose one. I like the one-liners, like, always killed me.
Yeah, because they're short, to the point, and sweet. You know, it gets your juices flowing.
Oh,
gets
yeah.
You moist.
definitely. Speaking of moist, Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter.
The hell could have happened here? Get your drinks ready. Joe came down with 250. What a slut. Oh!
That was number two for me. If I'm ranking them, it was the Little Miss Muffet, and then this one.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that, man. Jack and Jill got me rolling. Me and my brother, when we first saw this late night comedy, we just kept saying all night long through the day, we just could not stop laughing at that stupid joke.
That was actually the first one that I heard. And then, like, I heard, like, other ones, like, from the other room, because I wasn't allowed to, like, I was supposed to be watching it on my own. So they would, like, kick me out, but they still had the TV on loud, so I would just, like, kind of crack the door and just still listen. But that was the first one I ever heard. And then Little Boy Blue, and it was funny because, like, I repeated them to some of my friends after school and stuff, but they, like, half of them they weren't getting, and I'm like, how are you not getting this? This is fucking gold.
Because they never got laid.
I'm like, you fucking uncultured swines. It's fucking Andrew Dice Clay. Have some fucking respect.
Damn straight. Pip, pip, cheerio, and all that good shit, right?
All right, here we go. Next one. Mary had a little lamb. She kept it in a backyard.
And when she took her panties off, its little dick got hard. Oh, look at that pussy.
Here was the other. Okay, here was another one. Another short one. Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
Shave that pussy. It's so damn hairy.
Ding, 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 ding. Hair pie. Yes. Oh. That is correct, sir. All right, and we got one more good one, looks like. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to fetch her old dog a bone.
What could have happened when she got a dog a bone? I mean, dogs love bones. When she bent over, Al Rover took over and gave her a bone of his own. Oh!
I love it, dude. I don't know. It's just like, I know it's like fucking dick and fart jokes, but fuck, come on. They're fucking hilarious. Like, I'm not sure how people aren't laughing at, like, I mean, I know a lot of new people, a lot of younger people aren't going to know who he is, but go look him up. Go fucking look him up. You're doing yourself a favor.
These are timeless classics. They're going to last forever. When aliens take over our world and make us genetic clones, they're going to look at these times and just laugh their asses off because it's funny.
Hell yeah. It's some of them are short, sweet, and to the point, and some of them, the setup, it's, you know, the setup's brilliant on a lot of these if you break them down and actually look at them, you know?
Yeah, it's like Prince of comedy.
Oh.
Purple rain draining my vein. Go!
One of my favorite jokes of his, when the cop pulls him over and he's like, have you been drinking tonight? He's like, yeah, and I'm horny as fuck too. Well, you want to suck my dick?
Well, yes, sir. I think we are.
In a world of crazies, that guy fit right in.
Oh my gosh, man. The nonsensical humor that he threw out there, even that stupid movie that he was in, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, it was so fucking funny. You don't like the movie, but the movie in itself, it stands on its own ground and own merit of comedy. It's a great movie, I think.
Yeah, I think he's one of the more underrated comedians, and it's... I know a lot of people, because of it was crude humor, didn't get on board, but then time started changing. But the thing is, since it never really got the attention that it was due back in the day, it didn't carry over to the next generation that did appreciate it. Like, it was just, you know, guys like me and you that, like, you know, either watched it on TV when it was, you know, still fairly new and sometimes censored. And then, or me, like, listening from the other room to the uncensored version because I was supposed to be watching it. But I think I was like maybe like 10, 11. And those jokes, like, they were funny to me. And so I'm not sure, like, how other people my age weren't, like, jumping on the bandwagon. They're just kind of like, I guess, the crude thing. And that wasn't in yet. But a little long down the line, then it started being the in thing again.
They were the good kids. They didn't appreciate the good, disgusting humor that us morons did.
Thank God I never told the aristocrats joke there. I've been banned for life.
Either that or I got some weird girlfriend.
I mean, if it was a chick that was down for the aristocrats, it sounds like a win for me.
Then you would have had those sister porns well before they started. You know who was also in that Ford Fairlane movie?
Who's that?
Our last guest for last week, and that was Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was the DJ rock god in that. Yeah, so fucking funny having him in there. So if you don't know what the fuck we're talking about, go out and find Adventures of Ford Fairlane and at least give it a try. It's stupid humor, but it's got good writing, and it actually has good acting. It is a good watch.
Agreed, agreed. And it's a better watch than watching the news this week, sure was. I mean, that was, wow.
Even, God damn.
Like, even for me, I just sat there and I was like, really, dude? Fuck.
I watched that whole Capitol raid thing. I was like, it's a bad time to be white. Then I realized I'm Mexican, so I was okay.
I know. That's why I look at the wife and I'm like, honey, aren't you glad you're Mexican now?
You got the Mexican stick in you that makes you Mexican. Yay.
And she said, yeah. And I'm like, said no one ever.
Oh. Yeah, what the fuck's going on with these morons that are self-deprecating and just going out thinking that everything belongs to them? I mean, they're fighting for the wrong reasons, putting their lives on the lines for the wrong morals. And what, for Trump? What's he going to do for them? It's not like he's their best buddy. He's going to go down to Mar-a-Lago with them and, you know, visit with the fucker. He can't even go there anymore. Florida don't want him.
A lot of people don't want him. He got bad. He got himself bad, at least till after the inauguration, from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the places that he was posting all of his fucking nonsense. And I know we generally don't like get all super political about stuff here, but I don't know, man, what a fucking idiot. Like, there was, I'm sure, a more graceful, or as like Archer would say, I'm sure there's a nicer way to do that. When he fucking left office, it's like, bitch, quit crying. You know you're on the way out. You didn't even want the fucking job in the first place. Like, you sucked at it. And like, what did you think the rest of us are going to think? Oh yeah, hang around for another 40 years, see if you turn it around. Fuck that, dude. People are trying to make money and trying to eat and trying not to fucking die of Rona, and you ain't helping matters.
He needed another President Trump saying, you're fired.
Oh, that would be so fucking sweet if they just played that over the White House speakers as he was leaving on his last day. You're fired.
You're fired. Get the fuck out. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. Just go. You're fired. Yeah, it was just so asinine to see us. And we have to talk about this. This isn't about politics. This is just about general nature of people's stupidity, thinking social media out there is telling you 100% truth. You look on Facebook, you look on the Instagram, you look on Twitter. That stuff is polarized information. Nothing of that is 100% true. Yeah, there might be some facts in there, but come on, search it out yourself. Don't be one of the lemmings falling off the cliff, people.
Agreed. And it's that fucking mob mentality that led in large part to that riot in the Capitol. And to see like people climbing those fucking walls, like fighting with the police retreating, that was some bullshit. I mean, if those were fucking minorities, those fucking guns would have been drawn and there would have been shots fired for sure. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen this time. I mean, coincidence? I don't know, man. It's a little hard to skate past it after all the shit that went down here after Floyd died.
Yeah, I mean, it almost was like a missed opportunity for another Predator, where Arnold Schwarzenegger meets his cohort and says, "Dylan, you son of a bitch," and then they go out and just mow down the lawn. You know what I'm saying? Get to the chopper. I ain't got time to bleed.
But I did see a couple of funny clips that people had sent me when the shit was going on. The first one was, there's a Mexican hot dog vendor, the the bacon wrap hot dogs.
Yeah, those look good too.
And the corn. Yeah. And he was pushing the cart around, and in the background somebody superimposed the Rick Ross "Every Day I'm Hustling, Hustling." Nice. So you see all the fighting and shit going on in the background, and this dude pushing the fucking bacon wrap hot, like fucking ringing a bell and fucking pushing the bacon wrap hot dog and corn cart.
You know what the best part of that story is? That motherfucker went home with nothing on that card. He went home with dollar bills.
Guarantee you he sold out at least twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, props to that guy. Make your fucking money. Make your fucking money.
You know, and you know what would have been even better is if he had Trump shirts and Trump hats on that cart. Yes, I'm making America better. You want some hats? Extra large hat? I got it.
Yeah, fucking like bootlegged hats that he was selling.
That'd be fucking awesome, man.
I would say next time, but I mean, you know, TikTok has got what, less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, really.
Before they play "Hit the Road, Jack."
Just remember, people, we're making light of some sick situations out there. Don't take us seriously. And if you do, we don't give a fuck.
It's like Hoogie said on the Joan Rivers episode, if we offended you from the bottom of our hearts, fuck you.
Fuck you.
They're called jokes, bitches. So I agree with you, though, on the whole people feeling that they are that entitled where they can throw a fucking tantrum. And that's basically what it was. It was a bunch of fucking people throwing a tantrum because their guy didn't win. So the fuck what? Who cares? It's not like your vote fucking mattered anyways. You know, like, it's not up to you. You're not rich enough. You're not fucking elite. And if you're listening to this show, like, you're like the rest of us. So for sure you're not. And if you are, that's fucking incredible. I'm not sure what you're doing listening to this crap. I'm sure there's something better you could do with your time. But I digress. I think it's just complete bullshit. Like, people feeling that entitled that, I'm going to go throw a tantrum and that somehow, some way is going to get the vote overturned or it's going to get the result that I want. It's like participation trophy bullshit all over again.
Just keep this in mind, kids out there in our world that are watching us right now. I went into Facebook posting funny, offensive memes all over the place to make fun of people, have a good laugh, and just chuckle around. I didn't expect this guy to ask me to join this show, but here I am, and now you're listening to me, so fuck you. I don't know what the point is.
He walked in a bright yellow jumpsuit. No. So that's the other thing that I found crazy that was going on. I mean, not as fucking serious as the fucking raid on the Capitol building, but Eminem and fucking Snoop Dogg are beefing too. And I didn't think that was going to happen. It's like, what? I thought you guys were on the same team. What the fuck happened? So apparently Snoop took exception, we'll say, to the fact that Eminem was on a top 10... I think it was a top 10 lyricist or top 10 rappers of all time. And Snoop didn't completely agree. And he was on the Breakfast Club and he said that he disagreed. And Eminem at first, like, didn't put out the, you know, the track, like when Machine Gun Kelly did his bullshit. And then Eminem, like, fucking annihilated him on a fucking single. So then Snoop isn't backing down. He's not changing his story. And so then Eminem releases the track and Snoop's just basically saying, you better hope I don't answer him for real. And then he just left it at that. And I was like, wow. What
the fuck's going on in this world? No chocolate vanilla swirl anymore? I mean, we're, what, how many days into 2021? Are, you know, I want a refund. I don't want this full year to go through. Give me 2019 back. I mean, what the fuck?
5 days in, 5 days in, or 6 days into fucking 2021. I'm like, all right, here's to 2022. Good luck, you guys.
Oh, shit, man.
Like, 2020
was asinine.
2020 wasn't a good year. 2021, Not starting off any better. Not at all.
No, we're losing people left and right. The aliens are looking at the Earth television show in 2021 season and saying, oh, shit, this is going to get real like Atlanta Housewives, you know, come on.
Oh, shit. It's like fucking if like the universe was Netflix, that makes the fucking Earth Tiger King. I'm sure it's like that Rick and Morty episode where like they're unknowingly like contestants on a game show. Show me what you got. And they're like tuning in and watching us like all over. And
we like what you got.
But yeah, just crazy shit, dude. Like you said, like they're, I don't know like what the count is in Arizona, but over here in Cali, they're like bringing out the meat wagons for to different hospitals. Like the one, the guitar guy works at said, he said that they had them parked outside, you know, for a little bit. So, but he said they're not, as far as he knows, they're not in but this is again like maybe a couple of weeks ago. So he said that he knows they're not in use yet, but that they put them there if like some unexpected spike hit and they had to. So it's I don't know, man. I'm trying to not go out too much. Like I'll go to the store, you know, go drive like DoorDash or, you know, go get gas or smokes or whatever. But I mean, I know people personally that have got it and like they're saying that, yeah, fuck all that shit about don't believe the hype about it's not real. Like this shit fucking does hurt like a motherfucker and it does make you feel like shit. So like I'm not, fuck that. I got shit to do.
So what normally happens is it prevents oxygen from going through your circulatory system, and that's the biggest letdown. When you have the flu or the cold, your body aches, your joints ache, your muscle aches because you're not breathing as heavily as you normally do. With this COVID thing, even though you breathe in and you try to get the oxygen, it just doesn't circulate through your body. So that's why people are put on oxygen ventilation to help them heal better and faster. As far as the meat wagons go here in Arizona, yeah, we got them parked everywhere. You ain't got nothing on us, man. How's the saying go? Stacks on stacks, racks on racks. That's where we're rolling here in Arizona. Shit. We're hitting the top notch in here, man. So
scary shit, man. Like again, like I got better shit to do than fucking be hurting in bed. Like I got shows to do.
Yeah. If I were to get on an airplane to go anywhere, they'd be like, "You from Arizona? Bend over. We're going to check you out. Good boy."
Spread your cheeks and lift your sack.
Well, no, they wouldn't probably tell me to lift a sack because I've gone through a lot of those screenings and a lot of them got big hands, even the women.
The guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. Oh. yeah, don't pull that shit going through the fucking airport. TSA does not find it funny, especially not the O at the end.
You want my number? Oh.
So I'm at an airport and I'm like, I think I had an edible and it was kicking in. So I was just like, didn't give a fuck. And for whatever reason, like my fucking clothes keep setting off the fucking detector. So they like fucking pull me aside. They're like swabbing my shit and they're like fucking patting me down. And so the guy's patting me down. I'm like, so, hey, do you want to go get a drink later or something? He's like, he looks at me, I'm all, oh, and fucking like, yeah, not amused, not at all.
I think it would have been better if you just would have slipped your number down the front pocket of his shirt.
Oh, hey, here's my card. Call me later, yeah?
You got soft hands, the softest hands that went across my balls today.
I guess maybe because I was like looking at the top of his head when I said it because he was like patting down my like my knees and I'm like and he was like significantly shorter than me, so he's I'm like I look at the top of his head and that's when I was like, so hey, you want to get a drink later?
You know what would have been good is Van Wilder. Oh yeah, you're doing great. Oh, you're the boss. Look at my eyes. The best.
The next time I fly, they got to pat me down. I'm like, okay, yes, but you have to maintain eye contact the whole time and you have to let me record it.
And when you finish, call me Mr. Zesterhaus.
I'll just have a card on standby and be like, yo, here, call me.
There you go. These are my requirements to fly. Oh, shit, man.
So, I mean, I guess some people might find that a little rude. I don't know. I personally didn't. I thought it was funny, but I mean, it was like 4:50 in the morning, so I'm pretty sure that guy had just like fucking woke up and like wasn't totally in the mood for fucking me mouthing off.
Well, it's probably good that I'm not there because I would have been laughing my ass off.
I wish they were doing it around people. They like they move you to the side in the airport that I was at, and so like there was nobody kind of around. So I'm like, fuck, that would have been a lot funnier with an audience. But I mean, maybe not to that
point.
I mean, maybe not to that guy, but so it got me thinking of a time of a like fucking like dirty work, like it being fucking just. Being rude on purpose to somebody at work.
At work? Nice.
I remember this. I'm working this job and this temp technician asked if he could borrow my flash drive, and it's a fairly expensive flash drive, you know, just a regular USB, but it's one of the better ones and holds a lot. So this dude tries to fucking tell me that he lost it, and I'm like, all right, well, Fry's is next door, lucky for you, go buy a replacement. And he's like, well, won't the company cover it? I'm like, yo, you lost my flash drive, not the company's flash drive. So go ahead and take a break. Walk over to Fry's and go get a flash drive. And I want the exact same one. And go ahead and bring it back to me. And they started to say something. I'm like, I got to go, but you go ahead and take your break and go to Fry's. I'll see you in a while. And then I just fucking turned around and walked away from him.
That wasn't being rude, that was being honest. But I like it. So I used to wear copiers, and nothing pissed me off more than somebody asking for my help and not following through with what I told them to do. It just annoyed the hell out of me because I would say, check this, go through these steps, make sure that you follow through. If you don't find the issue at that point, then I could come over and help you out, because I wasn't a lead. You know, I was very, very good at what I did, but I was not a lead. I had my own people that I had to take care of in that day, right? So I was busy. So I got fed up one day, and this guy just kept asking me, oh, I checked this. Oh. Turned out to be a stupid connector on a lamp that wasn't plugged in. I told him specifically to check to make sure because they pop out from the motion. And I just had it with him. I was just done with it. And I told my manager, I quit. My manager goes, what? You can't quit. I'm like, I'm not quitting. Just tell him I said I quit. So he calls the guy up and tells him that I said that I'm quitting because of the stupid copy machine. And next thing you know, everything starts hitting the wall. Everybody on the team's calling me up. Don't quit, man. You can't quit. Don't go. Next thing I know, he's calling. Oh, I'm so sorry. Whatever I did, I'm so sorry. I felt like a heel, but I felt good at what I did. Even though I shouldn't have done it, I die laughing on the phone. Like, I'm not quitting. I'm just fucking with you. We end up going to that machine, end up fixing it in no time flat. But it was just one of those things that you vent out, you know, that sometimes you kind of think, should I have done that? Yeah, you should have.
There was a lot of projects that I worked over the years when I was in the IT industry, and a lot of these projects went on for months and months, some years at a time. And I remember I was like at the end of my fucking fuse. Like I had, like it took almost nothing to set me off and for me to fucking just go off on a fucking rant or just fucking rip someone a new one. And so it's in one of those time periods where it's like this project's been going on for like 9 months of like 18-hour days, 6 days a week. Like, I'm super burnt. I have zero tolerance, zero patience for anything at this point. And this guy, we have to have a meeting with him because I kept telling the bosses, this guy's not going to work out for me. I need somebody better. He's not good. I don't know. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I can't use him. And so, but I said it while the guy was sitting at the other end of the conference table. And so he's there. I'm telling him, like, telling the bosses, I can't use him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, that's the problem. And so then this guy gets mad. He starts defending himself that he is, you know, a good technician and this and that. And I'm like, you're not. I had to show you a bunch of basic things that I should not have had to show you for having a job that entails what you do every fucking day of the week. And so then he got mad and he left. And then one of the bosses goes out and gets him. My boss is like, what the hell, man? He's like, you can't be saying shit like that. I'm like, I've had it with him. I'm like, I told you a bunch of times, I don't want to work with this guy anymore. Just get me somebody else. It'll be easier. And so the guy comes back in. He was like, well, do you have something to say? And I'm like, to him, and I'm like, look, if you quit the project, not one person would blame you and there'd be no hard feelings. And so he just looked at me like, wow. And my boss was like, say, like, his jaw was just like, and I'm like, yo, what did you want me to say? You told me to tell you when I needed somebody gone. I'm telling you, I need somebody gone. I told you nicely. I told you by yourself. You wanted me to say it to his face so you'd have to be the bad guy? You should have just told me. I had no problem with that whatsoever. I fucking fired people for less. Like, it would not have bothered me one bit.
Step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired. Seven minute abs. Come on, 6 minute abs.
And it was like one of those scenarios where he couldn't fire me because there was nobody else in the fucking entire company that wanted to do this fucking project or be anywhere fucking near it. So I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere. Like, you need me as much as I need you for a paycheck. You need me too. So I'm staying put. Get me somebody else.
I think 1,000 angels were born on that day. So, yeah, there was another time when I was at work and I was a lead and I had a whole bunch of engineers, field service engineers under me. And when I was going to this new job to become a lead, I had someone that I had to train to take my old position. So I got this guy and we're walking down. I'm showing him the ins and outs and everything, you know, and he's a pretty smart cat. And we see everybody sitting down. Now, the whole group that's sitting down was not only my peers that I work with, but a couple of the other guys that work for the other company and for my competitors. Everyone just sitting around. We all talk together. We all get along together. We all help each other throughout the day. And one of those guys, he had a medication that he took that caused him to have jitters. So he was always shaking. He was always doing this shit. And when we work in the inside of a tool, you know, and we're trying to put screws in, he'd be shaking all over the place. I go, God damn it, stop shaking. Do you want him to shake this whole goddamn thing so he can put one screw in? This guy was just shaking. So I'm introducing everybody. I'm like, this is so-and-so. This is so-and-so. Hey, everybody, this is Norm. He's taking over my position. This is so-and-so. Oh, and here shakes McGee. See, I know you're goddamn stupid Mexican. Mow my goddamn lawn. I go, don't listen to Shake. He shakes a lot and his teeth chatter a lot. Let's just keep going. And then we keep going. And he's just shouting at me from behind, I'm going to get you, you stupid Mexican. Meanwhile, this new kid's looking at me with his jaw dropped like, did that just really happen? Everyone at the table's dying laughing. And later on, I talked to the guy, you know, Mike, he's all laughing. That was pretty funny. But you ever do that again, I'm going to probably punch you. I'm like, you're going to try to punch me. That was a real dick move, but it was funny.
That's fucking hilarious. That reminds me of fucking Rickles had that thing with Frank Sinatra where he was kind of semi-famous already. He was on a date, and Frank Sinatra happened to be at the same restaurant. And he's like, hey, he goes over to him. He's like, hey, Frank, I'm on a date with this chick. Can you come over in a few minutes and just say hi? And, you know, they're good friends. So Sinatra says, yeah, I'll be over there. So he goes and he sits down. And Sinatra goes to the bathroom. On his way back, he stops and he sees Rickles. And he's like, hey, Don, how you doing? And, like, Rickles pounds on the table. He's like, not now, Frank. Can't you see I'm eating?
That's a great story. You caught me over here. All right. I have one more good statement on this one. And it doesn't – I'm not a dick to anybody on this one. But it was a dick on to me, basically. All right, if that makes sense. You're going to love this story. So at the tech school that I went to out here in Arizona, that's long since closed, I was working with a girl that was my leader at the time, supervisor, this blonde girl, very pretty, you know, very well endowed, you know, had great proportions to her. And we were just good friends. That's all it was, you know, because we were working at the time. And she decides that she's going to take us to a place called Houlihan's. I think it's shut down since then. And it's down over in the Biltmore area here in Arizona. The Biltmore area is where all the multi-million dollar homes are, east of central Arizona, central Phoenix, I should say. And, you know, a lot of hoity-toity area, right? So we're going in there, and it's really nice restaurant. I mean, food's great. Drinks are great. And we're sitting down. All of a sudden, she's flustered. She's hitting me. I'm like, stop it. What are you doing? Why are you hitting me? She's hit me. I'm like, stop it. She goes, is that? I'm like, well, if you'd stop stuttering, you would see it's Charles Barkley. Yeah. So Charles Barkley is sitting there talking to his manager. He's eating a salad and she's throwing a whole verklempt bullshit, you know, this whole thing. Just like, all right, look, calm down. I'm not going to signature. She goes, you need to go get it. I'm like, I'll go get it. Calm down. You need to let him eat. He's talking. Let the guy talk. Nobody likes being bothered while they're trying to talk about business. So just shut up and let him eat. She's throwing a little bitch fit, going crazy. When are you going to go? When are you going to go? I'm like, well, if I'm going, I'm going to get a signature for me. What are you talking about? When am I going to go? And she goes, you can't get one for me. I'm like, God damn it. Okay. I'll try. Or just let him eat. Just let him eat. So this goes on for about 30 minutes. Finally, they're done. You know, he's sipping some water and they finish their discussion. They're having a good laugh. I walk over there. I go, Sir Charles, you know, I was wondering if I can get a signature. He's like, yeah, man, I saw you over there getting the lady, you know, calmed down and everything. You know, I'll do a signature for you. Thanks for waiting. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's my worst impression, Charles Barkley. So
that's terrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Terrible. So he gives me a signature on a Houlihan napkin. I mean, it's just a shitty napkin. Who, you know, the signature ain't worth shit. But it was a nice gesture. I liked him. And I really loved how he played. I was a really big fan when he was in the Philadelphia 76ers when he first came out of college.
He was a beast.
Yeah, he was a beast. So after he gives me the signature, I look at him calmly, plainly, go, can I have another signature? What do you need a second signature for? I gave you one. I'm like, yeah, this one's for me. But the second one's for that beautiful young lady that I was sitting with. He's looking at her. He looks at me. He looks at her. He looks at me and goes, what's she doing with your ugly mug? I'm just standing there like, oh my God, does this motherfucker just caught me out right in the middle of this restaurant? He's dying laughing. His manager's dying laughing. There's people at tables dying laughing. And I had to take it because it was Sir Charles. So he gave me a second signature. I gave it to her, and that was a good day.
That's fucking awesome. That Catalina V had a similar story. I think she shared it with us. Maybe I think last season, right? And she said that she was somewhere and she was trashing a Leonardo DiCaprio movie and fucking then she turns around and like fucking 6 feet away is fucking DiCaprio and his girlfriend just sitting there listening and like, And she was like, oh, motherfucker. And she just turned around and walked away.
That's awesome.
I like that story that Mixit said with about Joe Pesci when he was like, what do you mean you don't have bottled water? He's like, well, I'm not a clown, sir. and I could totally hear Mixit saying some shit like that because he's I've partied with him, and he says that stuff sober too. it just gets better when he's drunk. We're at this after Fuck Checker and I got married. We got married in Vegas, right? And so we're partying downtown Vegas, and we're at a bar that we just walked into. It looks fun as fuck. It's the Gold Spike, downtown Vegas. The Gold Spike. There is the hotel that it's attached to is called the Oasis. Cool place to stay. Stayed there a bunch of times. Like, I think it's probably one of my and Fuck Checker's favorite hotels down there to stay at. It's really cheap. It's off the downtown strip, but it's only like a block off, so it's not really bad. You know, get to the strip in like 2 minutes. Their bar, they don't really have a casino anymore, but it's more just like a bar and a party area. So they got this huge outdoor patio. It's got life-size like Jenga, and they're like huge blocks, like 3-foot blocks that you like stack Jenga style. They got shuffleboard. The what I thought was really fun was the life-size beer pong. It's like those trash cans, and it's like a dodgeball. So you like stand far apart and you gotta just like chuck them. They also have cornhole. And so inside, it's like the club, like where there's a dance floor, the bar is there, but they have huge furniture, and it's like bedroom furniture. So there's like this gigantic, it's like two Cali King size mattresses put together and a gigantic frame around it. So it's just a giant bed. And so the place is fun as fuck. The party's popping, and we go in. We sit down, and Mixon's like, I got the first round. So he goes to the bar, and him and his wife are standing there. And this little dude walks up, and then I just see Mixon like poking him in the chest. And then the guy was like throwing his hands up in the air. Like, the music's loud. Like, I can't hear what they're saying. They're, you know, like 10 feet away from me. And so I'm watching them, and like, but it doesn't look kosh, right? So Mixit comes over, and he's like with the round, and he's like, all right, drink it up. We're getting kicked out. And I'm like, what the fuck? We just got here. And so then like fucking sure enough, halfway through the round, here comes security with the fucking little dude again. And he looks all super like Napoleon-ish, all fucking hands on the hips and the whole bit. And we're, you know, sitting there, and so security comes over and starts talking to Mixit. And then the little guy starts getting all mad. And so we're like, okay, so like four more security guards came over, but they were considerably smaller than Mixit. So we're like, ah, whatever. He knows his way around a fight. He's good. And so, but then when more of them came over, like the rest of us were like, no, 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 fuck that. And so we all get up, and we're all, you know, on the average, like 6'1 to 6'3. So there's like eight of us, and like the security guards are maybe like 5'6", 5'7". And there's like maybe five of them now total. And so they're like, they asked Mixon what happened. He's like, well, this asshole fucking butted dirty drinks right up to the clean drinks that the bartender just handed me. What kind of fucking bullshit is that? And so the security guard goes, oh, okay, so it was just a misunderstanding. And they all turned around and like walked away.
And you're left with the little Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, and so he like storms off all pissy, and makes it's like, who the fuck was that? And the bartender is like, yeah, that was my boss. That was the bar manager. And he's like, all right, drink it up, folks. Like I said, we're getting kicked out.
Nice. Imagine if they were having that conversation at the bar and you're just making stupid banter. What? Imagine that they were talking about, hey, how big is your pussy? It's pretty big. Wow, that from up here, it looks pretty big.
It was hilarious, too, because when he said it the first time, he's like, he puts the drinks down, drink it up, we're getting kicked out. I'm like, are you kidding or are you serious? And he's like, no, I'm serious. You should probably drink your drink fast. Like, okay, what the fuck happened? And then that's when security and the dude came back. He's all that. I'm all, wow. I'm like, we just got here. And he was like, yeah, My bad. But apparently that guy was a dick, so he threw his temper, he took his fucking temper tantrum and he storms off and he leaves. Right. And so I guess he told security that he was leaving for the night. They treated us like fucking royalty at that place the rest of the time we were there. That everybody hated that dude, come to find out in the end. I was like, whoa. And so we're like gonna leave after the fucking drinks, because he's like made a big thing about it. And so then we're gonna leave, and then that's when security was like, nah dude, stay, enjoy yourself, fuck that guy, he was an asshole. He's like, do you want us to get you a booth? We'll fucking just go get you a booth, we'll kick out who's ever in there. I'm like, nah dude, it's cool.
Dude, that would have been tight,
because we were ending the night there, so we were all fucking wasted. And so, and we're all tired too from like walking around. I'm still dressed in my suit. Checker is still in her wedding dress. So everybody was like drunk and fucking tired. We were just like, nope, it's time to go to bed. It's like fucking 6:30 in the morning.
That's awesome. When you checked in, did they ask if you wanted disabled porn?
No, they make you add it on.
What kind of sick fuck do you think I am? I want regular porn, not disabled porn.
It's
There's a good one-liner for you.
What about you? Any cool stories about getting the boot?
So getting the boot? No, I you know, I'm not really a dick to most people. It was just the fat in the pants thing that I did, what, in episode 3, I think it was, we were talking about that when I was at that dance club.
Oh.
But I didn't get kicked out of that. Everybody loved me after that one.
What about the strip club?
Oh, shit. Oh, that's right. I did tell you that story. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, so if I got any family watching this, I don't care. You're going to listen to this anyway. Because I don't give a fuck.
Oh.
So there's a premier strip club here in Arizona. And I don't want to mention names. I don't want to give any ideas of, you know, where these places are, because that'd be far below me, you know, because I'm way lofty. Alaskan Bush Company. Anyway. So at this place that I won't mention, Alaskan Bush Company.
The Poon Saloon.
They have some nice girls there. And we had the B group come out. And I was like 18 years old at the time when I was coming out here. And I really love strip clubs, man. Some of the hottest chicks that you'll see are in those strip clubs, even MILFs. And the reason I say that is because it was a Latina woman that came out, and she must have been in her mid-30s, maybe early 40s, somewhere around there. But she had a tight body. She had a beautiful face. There was nothing wrong with that body whatsoever. And we were getting ready to go. It had been 6 of us. And 5 of us had a birthday that night. That it wasn't their birthday, but they had a birthday. And we were getting ready to go. All I had were 3/4 in my pocket. That's it. You know, I go in those places at the time with enough money that I want to spend for the night. So I had like $50 with me. And that's all I wanted to spend that night. Nothing more. So I had 3/4 left that night, and we decided to get up and go. And she goes, "Ay, papi chulo, come on, throw down a dollar." I'm like, "All I got is 3/4, honey. You know, we're leaving. I'm sorry. You know, it's all I got." "Oh, come on, honey. You could get a dollar. Go get a quarter and get a dollar." I'm like, "Look, we're going. Now I'm getting pissed off. What are you doing? Are you crack whore on the corner of a street trying to get a dollar bill? I mean, are you that hard up for a dollar?" So I looked at my friends and go, "Hey, man, give me a quarter." He's like, "Why? This bitch wants a dollar." So now I'm pissed off. So I throw a four stack of quarters right there on the top. Here's your dollar. Guess what, kids out there? Never throw 4 quarters down to a stripper who's looking for a dollar, because that's bad etiquette. Like, there's bad etiquette in a strip club. Come on. At the Alaskan Bush Company? Come on.
They don't like it.
They don't like it. Next thing I know, I hear all the curse words in Spanish. 4 quarters lunge at my head from her kicking it my way. I mean, those meat flaps from Arby's were just flapping around. All I hear is a flap, 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 flap. I got this big 6'5" black guy coming up to me, say, "Hey, man, you need to go." I'm like, "Don't worry about it. I'm already going." He goes, why are we kicking you out anyway?" She said that you're an asshole. I'm like, I told him about the 4 quarters. He snickers. Okay, man, I'm going to act like I'm being mean to you, but you got to go. I'm like, "All right, that's cool, man. Get the fuck out of here." I'm like, "Hey, don't yell at me." And he's laughing. And a fun night was had by all.
That's brilliant, dude. Hell yeah. I'm sure he was fucking loving that. He's like, "Fucking bitch." Yeah. I thankful. I had a run in with a stripper. Well, it was my fault. I mean, I was drinking and like I was, it was towards the end of the night. Nice place too. It was Treasures in Vegas. And it's decked out like the ones you see on TV or in music videos, that kind of thing.
Right.
So fuck checking her out of there, checking out the show. And she's like, here, I'm too lazy to get up. Go give that stripper a couple of bucks. I'm like, all right. So I go over and she like fucking puts her arms around me. And I'm like, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, right guard doesn't cost that much, bitch. Jesus. And she was like, what's the matter? I'm like, here. And I fucking stick the $2 in between her tits. I'm like, yo, your armpits are kicking like Bruce Lee. I'm gonna go sit down. And so I left. And there was a stripper later on in the night. And I guess I was lucky because I picked the one that nobody liked to tell that shit to. And so this one that's like a dancer and a gymnast and like some other kind of flexible shit is talking to us. Siamese
twin?
Yeah. Sitting on my lap, pulling her leg behind my head. And it's fucking, it's a nice scene. So I'm telling her, she's like, oh, don't get a fucking lap dance from that chick. Nobody fucking likes her. I'm like, oh, that's probably a good thing that I told her that what I told her then. And she was like, what? I'm like, well, she fucking stinks, dude. Like, she smells. She's not wearing deodorant. It's fucking kicking. And she's like, I know that fucking bitch smells and blah, blah, blah. Everybody complains. I'm like, all right, well, she's like, did you tell her that? I'm like, yeah, I said her armpits were kicking like Bruce Lee. And she starts laughing and she like four other dancers come over and she's like telling them. And then all of a sudden they sit down and like two more come up. So we were like sitting there with like six or seven dancers just chilling and like all the fucking hot ones and all because I was fucking rude to that one stripper and told her armpits were kicking.
Everyone's looking at you like you're Snoop Dogg.
She smells so bad, a secret told on her.
So one other story really quick about that. I was at another place and you know me, I'm never going to mention names like that because if I drop them, it's just it's self-explanatory. Why would you do that kind of shit? Laskin Bush Company too. We go to this place and this one chick, she's got a body that just won't stop. I mean, the body's awesome, but everything from the neck up is just a fucking train wreck. I mean, it's just horrible. You could slap, you know, stucco on that thing. You can make the line straight. You can make it, you know, efficient, but it's just, ugh. And she was around one of my friends and she kept on, you know, touching me in the head. I'm like, get away. You know, I'm having a beer with my friend. And she goes, honey, you know, so I give her $1. I just like over my shoulder, here, go. Next thing I know, she's over my shoulder. She doesn't go to anybody in this Alaska Bush Company too. And she sticks around me for 3 hours. I'm like, God damn it. I go, hey, can I have that $1 back? I don't want you standing near me anymore. Just give me the $1, go. Yeah, I got thrown out of that place too. Good times.
Some of them have it coming though, I gotta say. It's like, yeah, it's just when you get unlucky and pick somebody that the bouncer actually likes versus picking somebody the bouncer doesn't care for.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I don't like being uncouth and mentioning names. I just don't. It's horrible for me.
All right, guys. Well, we are coming up on our time for this episode. We have had a great first half of this season. We're going to go ahead and take a little break, just a couple of weeks. You'll still hear the remastered version of episode one, season one, so the pilot. We still have the contest running, the Rick and Morty wood engravings from Creatures and Cosplay. Check out episode 7 on YouTube. Tell us how many times Jester's camera's dropped and tag 3 friends on our Instagram. And we will enter you into the drawing to win one of those 3 wood engravings. We're going to be having more contests after the season break. So keep checking us out. Creatures and Cosplay, Earful, and even a restaurant from an upcoming guest all got some good stuff to give out to you guys for trying out these contests. And we'll have more games for you to play. Big O, thanks for joining up with us. This first half of the season's been fucking killer, man. Welcome to Rice and Beans, and I hope you're going to be around for a long time.
As long as I bleach my butthole, you'll have a place to look.
Dynamite. All right, kids. Well, we are going to get on out of here for tonight. But until next week, take a toke and watch all your worries go up in smoke. Peace.